witchcraft, that hoodoo, that voodoo mess, whatever them devils have tried to do to you, thanks of God, I can fix it through the power of an almighty God. If you get up right now, I'm calling this blessing my before Father's Day special blessing. We love you, Father. We give an honor to Father like we did Mother, because it took two, Father and Mother, for you to exist, for me to exist. So God is my sponsor on today, but sweet Jesus is my boss. And those of you that want to get debt free, those of you that want to get debt free and need a spiritual reading, a spiritual checkup from the neck up, I want you to get up right now. Man of God, woman of God, I want you to get up. I want to bless every man, every boy, every woman, and every girl that need a way out. Every man, every boy, every woman, and every girl. See, you can be your own testimony on today. You can be your own testimony. You call somebody. Good God Almighty, I'm the man that you heard about all over the world. But I'm here. I'm here on these lovely but clear radio stations here in Louisiana. And those of you that is listening on the internet and in Mississippi, you get up right now. You get up right now, Monroe, Shreveport. You get up, Alexander and Bonnke. You get up right now, those of you right here in Manning and Mansfield. Get up and trust God and try God through me. Get up and trust God and try God through me on today. You know that a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. I say a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. I want to talk to winners on today. I want to talk to that man and that woman got the spirit of winning and that have put God first in your life. That new car you need, that new job, that new husband, that new wife. Just try God through me. My prayer line is open right now. The telephone number is 1-800-399-7353. That's 1-800-399-7353. That's 1-800-399-7353. You can call me 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's 1-800-399-7353. I come here today to praise the Lord. I come here today to praise God Almighty and help you come through. Those of you that need a spiritual reading, need a spiritual checkup from the neck up, or I'm going to worship the Lord on today, because I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. Because of you, God, I'm able to help your children. I'm giving God the glory on today. I'm giving God the glory. If you've tried all the rest, it's time for you to try God's best. I thank you, Jesus, for your grace, your blessings, and your healing. I thank you, Jesus, because I know without God, I couldn't have made it this far, and I couldn't make it happen without Him. I'm putting God first. Why don't you put God first on today? Because of who. This is my before Father's Day special blessing. In the name of Jesus. Saints of God, saints of God, even Eve couldn't do it. Adam and Eva could not do it. It took Adam and Eve. It took a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, and a woman and a woman. It's impossible for you to naturally do it. God didn't mean it to happen like that, and you can't either. I'm worshiping the Lord on today, and I thank you, Jesus, for your grace, your blessings, and your healing. My prayer line is open, 1-800-399-7353. 1-800-399-7353. My before Father's Day special blessing, 1-800-399-7353. I'm going to praise the Lord like I ought. What about you? Give God the glory on today. If you need spiritual help, if them devils are trying to cross you up, fix you. You're having problems in your home, in your relationship, on your job, in your business, call me. 1-800-399-7353. I see the clock on the wall. It's time for me to leave you. God bless you. God keep you. It's my prayer. And I love you with the love of the good Lord.
My provider, Jehovah Nissi.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
So if you're out of fellowship, get back in fellowship with him. You see, this starts the process of the restoration, the recovery, the reconciliation. That's the most important thing, is that you be in harmony with God, that you're living your life in harmony with God's plan, that there's no hostility between you and God. It's not that God will be hostile toward you because he loves you, but our hostility when we are not walking with God is directed toward him, when we don't want what he wants for us. God wants harmony and peace in your relationship with him. But reconciliation also includes reconciliation of relationships in your family that have lost peace, understanding, and harmony. God will remove the walls of division created by strife, misunderstanding, hurt feelings, and abuse. Sometimes relationships get broke down because of these things, but they are relationships that are important for your destiny. Reconciliation takes place when we repent of wrongdoing and receive and give forgiveness. If you have a broken relationship in your family or with a person that you used to be close to or was a close friend, and the devil got in that relationship, then you need to fight for that relationship. If the devil got in it, you need to get him out. You say, Pastor, how am I going to do it? See, one of the worst things you can do is take matters in your own hand and you try to fix it. Because flesh profits nothing. If you try to fix a broken relationship with human wisdom, you're going to break it some more. Now, I'm not talking about fighting for relationships that God has ended. You know the Bible says, come out from among them, be separate. There's some relationships God sever. You don't fight for a relationship that God say, it's time for you to move on. You don't fight for that. But if the devil got in it and it's a strife, it's a misunderstanding, it's a confusion, and you're good friends and you love each other, and now you're at odds with one another, then the devil caused the disagreement and the disharmony. Sometimes the devil just instigates stuff that ain't even real. He'd accuse other brother, and he just accuses us to one another all the time. I'm probably the most accused person in the church. Everybody always think they know what the pastor should be doing, why the pastor did it that way. But, I love you anyway. I don't care what you think. I got my assignment when it comes to you, and my assignment is to love you and to feed you and to help you and to be a blessing to you. How you respond to me ain't none of my business. I'm only responsible for how I respond to you. But if you're going to have relationships restored, then you're going to have to get that plan of restoration from God. God is the one that knows how to fix it. Part of that plan would be for you to start praying for that person. You know, when people make you mad, it's hard for you to pray for them. When people done took advantage of you, your flesh don't want you to do nothing. Your flesh won't call lightning out of heaven. When your flesh is involved, you be glad when things go bad in their life. That's good for them. How many of you ever say that about somebody? That's good for them. I knew they had it coming. I knew the Lord was going to get them. See, you shouldn't be carrying that type of stuff around in your heart. You should never rejoice when iniquity or tragedy happen in somebody's life. Don't ever say it's good for somebody when the devil beating them down. There's a reconciliation between you and God, and there's a reconciliation that God will do in relationships that are not where they need to be. I remember one time, right after I got saved, there was another guy that we were in the church together, and we were very good friends, and both of us on fire for God. Then all of a sudden, I started feeling uneasy around him. I didn't know what it was. I just started feeling uneasy. Like something was wrong. And this went on for a week, 2 weeks. Every time I got around him, I tightened up inside. So I went to the Lord. I got God's plan on. I didn't even know this here. What I'm teaching you today, I didn't even know it. But just being led by the Holy Spirit will keep you in safety. So I began to seek God about it. I said, Lord, what is it? I said, and so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, have I done something to him? Have I offended him? Did I say something wrong to him? And I searched my heart, and I couldn't find anything that I had done. And then the Lord told me, he said, now, go to him and ask him if you have offended him, if you've hurt his feelings in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And so one Sunday after church, hold on, let me pause. You shouldn't have anybody in this church that you avoid on Sunday. There shouldn't be anybody in here you can't sit next to. I ain't sitting on that side. They on that side. You better get out of here. You get yourself out of here with that attitude and get yourself right before you come back. You come in here with a clean heart, with your heart set on serving Jesus, worshiping him. You come to give. There's a supply you give during the worship service, and there's a supply you receive. And you keep your heart right in your relationships. Amen. You know, the Bible says if you bring your gift to the altar, and God talk to you in the altar and say, things ain't right with your brother, he say, leave the gift and go make things right. He say, I ain't taking that gift. I'm not going to accept your offering. If you got art in your heart, God ain't going to accept that mess. God want a gift come to you out of a pure heart. You can't have all kind of strife and junk going on in you and then I'm going to bring my offering. God don't want that offering. He said, go make it right with your brother. And what you got to do, you got to pray and say, Lord, how make it right? And so you're not out there in the flesh. Well, anyway, I went to the guy after service one day and I say, hey, I say, man, listen, I need to talk to you. He said, what's up? I said, man, you know, for some reason, I said, the last few weeks, every time I get around you, man, I feel grieved inside. I feel like something wrong. I said, I just want you to know, man, if I did anything, said anything to you, you know, if I hurt you, anything like that, man, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. He did like that. He said, phew. He said, man, I've been feeling the same way around you. He said, did I do anything to you? I said, no, you ain't did nothing to me. I said, I'd do something to you? He said, no, you ain't did nothing to me. I said, then it's the devil that's sowing discord between us because he don't want to see us fellowshipping together because we both on fire for Jesus and he don't want this power package here. I say, now, let's make a covenant here that if we ever have anything go wrong in our relationship that we're going to come to one another. And we're not going to let no division, because I felt a wall starting to be built. I said, if you ever sense any wall, anything, let's come to each other and let's make things right. Let's keep things straight. Let's keep the devil out of our relationship. I was 23 years old. That's the wisdom of God. And wisdom will work in anybody that'll receive it. How will reconciliation take place? It will take place by you seeking the Lord and getting his wisdom and plan on what to do, not by you taking matters into your own hands, leaning on your own understanding, or just doing what seems right or feels good. That get a lot of people in trouble. If you try to fix a relationship in the flesh, all you're going to do is make it worse. The flesh profits nothing. God is not pleased with believers not speaking to each other and rolling their eyes, turning up their noses at one another. God is not pleased with that kind of behavior among his children. God ain't pleased with that. You can't come in here rolling your eyes at people. You can't come in here that I ain't speaking. Or we just ain't on speaking terms. You better get it right. Well, we just had a little riff. We're going to work it out over and over. You better get it right now. You don't let that stuff fester. Because you give the devil an opportunity, he going to make it worse. He going to magnify it. He going to make it seem a whole lot worse than what it really is. You deal with stuff like that aggressively. Keep your heart right. You don't carry that stuff in you. You don't carry that poison in your spirit. I believe in restoration, reconciliation, and recovery. You have to get the will of God, the plan, the wisdom. We have to grow out of that babyhood stage of just being carnal. It's time to grow up. It's time to be about our Father's business. You have to develop your faith in God, in his word, and in his wisdom. So you say, Pastor, what do I do? First of all, you make God your only source. Not your number one source, your only source. You're going to have to fall in love with Jesus all over again and make him the apple of your eye. You're going to have to serve him, please him, and obey him. That's the first step right there to getting God's plan. God has a good plan for your success, a plan to bless you, a plan to give you victory. But you have to be determined to find out what it is. How do you find out what God's plan is? Listen up, teenagers, because God has a plan for you, and the devil will have you squander your youthful years on a lot of foolishness. You could waste years fooling around with the devil. Believe that God has a plan for you and receive that plan by faith and receive the wisdom to fulfill it by faith. In other words, you say, how do you receive the plan? You receive the plan by faith. You say, Lord, I believe you have a plan for me and I receive the plan by faith. I thank you that your plan is operating in me. Now, Lord, you show me what I need to do, but I believe the plan's in me. I believe the Holy Ghost is in me. I believe you have a plan, and I'm receiving that plan by faith. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Whatever you want me to say, I'm going to say it. Amen. You seek God for his wisdom on how to implement the plan he reveals to you. You seek God for the wisdom on how to implement the plan. Now, there's some things the Lord lets you use your discretion, but a lot of times God will just tell you what he wants done, and then you have to pray it out. That's the third thing. You have to pray out God's plan by praying in tongues. So you need to spend a lot of time praying in tongues. You need to pray in tongues all the time. Praying in tongues ought not be a one-time-a-week experience. Devote some serious time to praying out God's plan. And while you're praying out God's plan, God will give you a revelation on what he's called you to do. He'll give you the wisdom on how to get it done. Many times I'll have my day planned out, and I'll come here and spend some time praying, and all my orders get changed. He'll have me doing stuff I didn't even think about. Why? Because a man gonna plan his way. Everybody plan their way every day. Every day you plan what you're going to do. You plan what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. You plan to go to work. You plan to go home. You plan what you're going to watch on TV. You make plans every day. But you need to seek God about his plan. And you'll see that God will start rearranging your schedule. Pray out the plan by praying in tongues. The counsel of the Lord is in you, but you'll have to draw it out. And the way you do that is by praying in other tongues and staying in the word of God. The fourth thing that you'll have to do, you'll have to align your heart, mind, and mouth with the word of God. You'll have to align your heart, your mind, and your mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, your mouth. Your mouth is a source of big trouble. You got to watch what you're saying. You got to set a watch about your mouth, and you can't speak fear, doubt, unbelief. You can't speak the curse over your life and then expect the blessing. Don't speak the curse. Don't say what you can't do. Don't say what you can't have. No, with your tongue, let your tongue be like the pen of a ready writer. Amen. With your tongue, you write out the will of God. You write out God's plan with your mouth. When God reveals scriptures to you, you need to get in those scriptures. You need to speak exactly what God says. Renew your mind to it and don't speak anything contrary to it. Your confession of faith is a confession of you calling things that be not as though they were. My confession is I'm rich. My confession is I'm healed. My confession is I'm blessed. My confession is I have wisdom. My confession is I'll do the will of God. I'll finish my course. Now, I can't do any of that without God. I make God my only source. My one and only source. Your confession of faith is calling things that be not as though they were. And Jesus is the high priest over your confession of faith. He's not the high priest over everything you say. He's the high priest over the words of faith that you speak. So you got to confess the word regular. You need to have some confessions. If you don't have a confession, then how are you going to hold fast to it? How are you going to hold fast to something you don't have? You're supposed to have a confession of faith. And it should be so ingrained in you, down in your spirit, that if I ask you, what's your confession of faith today? You don't, hold on a minute. See, you don't know what you're believing for. What's your confession of faith? That means that it ain't happened yet. What are you believing for? That's what a confession of faith is. It is words that you decree and declare based on what you know is the revealed will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Number five, you maintain a heart of praise and thanksgiving regarding what you're believing for. In other words, I'll make a confession of faith, but then I start thanking God for it too. I start praising God for it. When I see what the will of God is, I move out in it, and I begin to say it, and I begin to thank God for it and praise God for it. Now, let's look at one more scripture here. Look at James chapter 1. Now, I want you to meditate in James chapter 1 all week long. I know you got your daily Bible reading scriptures, but I'm going to tell you, you include James chapter 1, those first 8 verses. Include that in your daily Bible reading and meditate on it and let God talk to you from these scriptures. Verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." We as a church need to meditate in James chapter 1. All right? I think these few verses here are packed with power and wisdom. In these verses, you find joy, temptation, testing, trials, faith, patience, prayer, wisdom, doubt, and receiving. And you know what? In verse number 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, he said, you're going through a test. Count it all joy. You say, Lord, I've got such a test on me right now. I don't know how to count it joy. You need the wisdom of God. You need wisdom. Why, of all the things that the Holy Ghost could have inspired James to write, why did he say, if you need wisdom? Because wisdom is the principal thing. It is not a principal thing. It is the principal thing. When you get the wisdom of God, then you have the mind of God. You have everything. In fact, the Lord gave me an illustration. If I put out a stack of money over here, let's just say $100,000, and I gave you a choice between the wisdom of God and $100,000, which one would you take? Now, I know that somebody will say, well, I'm going to get that $100,000, I'm gone. Is wisdom more valuable than $100,000? The wisdom of God I'm talking about. I ain't talking about human wisdom. I'm not talking about demonic wisdom. Because there's 3 kinds of wisdom. There's godly wisdom, human wisdom, and demonic wisdom. Godly wisdom is worth more than silver and gold. The Bible says it's more precious than rubies, more valuable than rubies. The Bible says about the wisdom of God that there's nothing that you can desire greater than wisdom. There's nothing greater than wisdom that you can desire. The greatest thing you can desire from God is wisdom. Because wisdom is the plan of God. It is God's way of doing things. If you took the $100,000 and you forfeited the wisdom of God, the $100,000 would be all you'd ever get. All you'd ever have would be $100,000. Because without the wisdom of God, you would lose that $100,000. You would waste it. I've heard people get big insurance settlements. No wisdom. And it's what? Gone. But if you took the wisdom of God, then God would show you in his wisdom how to create a perpetual stream of income. A supply that never run dry. So he said, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God for it. He is the source. The Bible says that God has laid up sound wisdom for the just. In other words, there's some wisdom that's been laid aside for you, waiting on you to tap into it, waiting on you to receive it. If he laid it up for you, that means that it's available. There's wisdom available for you in every